for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2018 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, December the 29th, 2018. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on how to do word studies.
Well, I really don't know what I'm going to do, but the Lord does. But I do feel led to show you how to do a word study. This is probably the greatest thing that God's ever taught me, and this is how I have stayed. I mean, I give God the credit for me staying well, but when I have something physical, I start looking up all the words and repenting over them. And now you can be as repentant as you know how to be, and most of you are, but when you get in the Word, you see so much sin, you think, God, you must be so sick of me. He is so merciful. So, Lord, we just come before your mighty throne, and we just thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you sent your word to heal us. Thank you that folks can't heal us, but you can. Lord, we thank you that you sent your word. You are the word of God. And so, Father, we just exalt your holy name. As I open my mouth wide, Lord, I ask you to fill it with whatever you want. I pray that you'll be glorified. Lord, I choose to let go of my life that I might find it. Lord, I pray, I choose to, against myself. Lord, you said when the death works in me, life works in your people. So, Father, we just thank you for what you're going to do. Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you. Lord, I ask that I might be a tree of life, that rivers of living water will come forth from my innermost being. Father, I ask you to cover every person that's here with the blood of Jesus. I loose your ministering angels to surround this place and put a holy angel in every vacant chair. And Lord, I pray that you'll bring anyone in here that needs to hear this. I think we all need to hear it. But God, I pray that you'll use this teaching, that you will use this to change people's lives as you've used it to change my life. Thank you for showing me that you are the great physician. Thank you, Lord, that you're not a man that you should lie. Your promises are true. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will give every person ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart that can understand so that they can turn and be healed. In Jesus' name. And Satan, I bind you, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. I bind you in the heavenly places and on this earth. I forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places, to work divination against us or this meeting, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we bind every spirit that would twist the word of God. We bind spirits that would, every spirit that would not confess that Jesus is Lord. We bind every person to the fear of God, the conviction of sin, and the truth that sets us free. In Jesus' name, we bless you, Lord. Thank you that your word is sharper, more powerful than any two-edged sword. It rightly divides the word of truth, piercing even to the dividing asunder of joints and marrow, soul and spirit. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. As I said before, you can be as repentant as you know how to be. You say, well, you know, because sin is behind sickness. You say, oh, no, not mine. I'm just attacked by the devil. Well, the devil can't do anything that God doesn't let him do. Yeah. Proverbs 26:2 says that like a sparrow in its flitting, like a swallow in its flying, so a curse without a cause cannot light. So we're going to be looking at some of the curses, and I hope you'll be reading along with me in your Bible. I'm going to try to do this. I've never tried to switch back and forth. Normally I put my notes in my notes, but I didn't do this. And anyway, so I'm going to try to switch back and forth in this iPad, so y'all just bear with me. You know, the Bible says that the Word of God is forever settled in heaven, that God watches over His Word to perform it. Yes. The leaf withers, the flower fades, but the Word of our God shall stand forever. You know, most places are wordless places, and I thank God for Lake Hamilton Bible Camp because you get the Word of God here. The teachers here teach the Word of God. A lot of places you can go, you actually can get demons. You have to be careful who lays hands on you. And so I thank God for this camp. And I've said this every time I come, and I heard Randy say it, but I've been coming for 20 years, maybe going on 21 years, and I have, every time I go home, I'm free of something. And you know, God wants to change us from glory to glory.
Yes.
Repentance and deliverance is a part of the sanctification process. Jesus died to sanctify you at Calvary. He died for your sickness, and He died for your pain. And it's already a finished work at Calvary, but we have to walk it out. And the way you walk proves what you're walking after. And so in 1972, well, I'm going to say this too. Jesus is the Word of God. In 1972, because I had a son that was living a homosexual lifestyle, I was looking for help for him. So I heard about this man in Dallas, Texas, that had cast the demons out of James Robinson. His name was Milton Green. And I, in one of his seminars, all he did was read the Word of God and explain it like Nehemiah did. And I got so much freedom. I was healed of so many things. The first seminar I went to, I had a digestion problem where everything I would eat my whole life would come up and down, and I thought that was normal because mother said I did it when I was a baby. That was healed. I had blood pressure was like 80 over 60, and my blood pressure was healed. The regurgitating thing, you know, you hear people that have bulimia, how how they will gag themselves and throw their food up, right? I didn't have to do that. And at one point in my life, that was the way I lost. You know, at one point I thought, you know, when I heard that, I thought, well, I didn't have to gag myself. I'll just go eat anything I want and go throw it up. And I lost a lot of weight that way. And then one day the Lord said, you're not doing that anymore. I said, oh, Lord, I don't want to let go of this surefire way to lose weight. This was before I got delivered. And so I said, well, Lord, if you... don't let me go to sleep tonight till I deal with this. Well, the Lord didn't let me go to sleep. And I have probably missed maybe 2 hours sleep in my whole life. I thank God for a good rest.
Amen.
But anyway, God delivered me from that because He said, stop it, and I stopped it. And then I went to this Milton Green seminar, and I got delivered from that where I didn't do that anymore. And so I had that healed, a lot of things healed. I took my son, wanting him to get deliverance, and through Milton Green, he taught me that sin was behind sickness. He also taught me that sin is behind the reason you need deliverance. And so what we normally do is we run to the world rather than look for the answers. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 25:2 says that it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to search a matter out. And so Jesus Christ is the Word of God, and through that seminar, God taught me, all He did was read the Word of God, and when you read the Word of God, you're creating the atmosphere of Jesus. You're creating the presence of Jesus when you read the Word of God. And so, anyway, through this dear man that had about a sixth grade education, I learned more in one seminar than I had in 25 years in the church. So it was like a treasure hunt for me because he'd teach the same thing for 3 days. He'd read the Word of God, the same scriptures over and over and over. And I attended 55 of his meetings and I saw miracles happen. I saw people that were trying to get pregnant. I saw people that, there was a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader, that, you know, she'd go to practice and she'd come home and fall in the bed. I told her mother, I said, get her over here and she'll get healed. Sure enough, she was totally healed just by the Word of God. The Word of God is so powerful. And that's why a lot of places that call themselves church are wordless. And words are not word. Don't you bore me to tears if you start rambling off with a bunch of words. I want to hear the Word of God.
Amen.
And so because that's what changes our life. But anyway, I took my son. Anyway, he lived a homosexual lifestyle. And 20 years, I prayed for him for 20 years, the Lord would do whatever it takes to heal him. Well, 7 years before he got sick with AIDS, the Lord told me there was going to be something happen. He used Isaiah 28 where it says, there's going to be an overwhelming scourge. And I remember writing my Bible, Lord, are you trying to tell me something's going to happen to Todd? I knew something was going to happen, but I thought because I'd been praying for him his whole life that he would be a mighty man of God. And so I didn't know he was not going to live. But praise God, his testimony is going worldwide. It's called Todd's Greatest Regret. You can go on my website, jerrymcgee.com, and you can pull up his testimony. You can go to YouTube. It's on YouTube. But anyway, after he had been dead for 2 years, the homosexual church in Houston, ACT UP, Metropolitan Gay Church, showed his testimony after it had been shown on cable access TV for 2 years, his testimony, and the homosexuals in Houston, ACT UP, they protested it, and he made the Houston Chronicle 2 years after he died. And so that was how the Lord showed me. Had it not been for him, I wouldn't have had the prayer life that God gave me. I wouldn't have been in the Word, but I was searching the Word of God to look for answers for this son. Anyway, when he got AIDS in 1988, in fact, in 1988, I turned him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. And I just said, Lord, if you know he's never gonna serve you, he's never gonna get delivered, then just take him out of here. And hindsight is I probably would have forbid the devil to kill him. I thought he was gonna live because the Lord told me he was gonna be a great servant of the Lord. And I think that was probably how God used him in my life and in the lives of other people. But taking care of him, he died at home. He died pain-free. The lady from hospice said that homosexuals with AIDS die such a terrible, painful death that even with morphine, they have to be tied to the bed. And so I got the morphine the day before he died, and I said, son, does anything hurt you? And he said, no, Mom. And so I flushed the morphine down the toilet. He died drug-free, pain-free, with the peace of God all over him. His testicles were the size of a large cantaloupe. He had tore flesh around his rectum from herpes lesions. He went blind in his eye. His feet went from size 11 and a half to size 13 or 13 and a half. He weighed about 80 pounds. He had Kaposi sarcoma, which was cancer of the small blood vessels. He went blind in his eyes from looking at pornography. And he asked me if I thought he was going to have to, a month before he died, he said, Mom, you think I'll have to suffer before I die? I said, honey, if you don't think you're suffering, I don't think it's going to be any worse. And it wasn't. But he died totally pain-free. And, you know, the Bible tells you that the root of pain is vexation. So if you've got pain in your body, you've got to find out where you're in vexation. Vexation means grief, sadness, sorrow, provocation, hurt, and idolatry, because in the pain or whatever happened to you, you let the sun go down on your anger and you didn't deal with it. And so there's some place when you've got pain anywhere in your body, there's some place there's vexation, and that's not a condemnation. That's the truth, because Ecclesiastes chapter 11, I think it's verse 10, says, so remove vexation from your heart and put pain out of your body. So I've discovered that if there's pain in my body, I'm going to find out where I was agitated, where I was hurt, where it wasn't. It's an unresolved issue, either a childhood issue or an unresolved issue somewhere down in your heart. Because Randy shared, I think it was Randy that shared Friday night, that whenever you let the sun go down on your anger, you give a place to the devil. And so wherever you've got pain, you've given place to the devil. That's not a condemnation, because all of us are work in progress. In fact, right now I'm standing up getting healed of a cold, and the Lord showed me immediately what Gene said is what I do. When I have a problem, I want to be a problem solver. And that's one reason I love our president, is that he's a problem solver. Yeah. I want to be a problem solver. Not a problem that person that lives in the same old problems year after year after year after year. And when I go through anything, I always say, God, what are you trying to teach me? Yeah. And learn the lessons. And it's by his grace and mercy that he saved us. All of us, like Randy said, we're all a mess. Every last one of us. And that's not condemning anybody. But sanctification is a process, and it takes a lifetime. You're not going to be perfect till you get to heaven, but I want to be a person that changes from glory to glory to glory to glory. And Romans 1 tells you why people have dementia and Alzheimer's. It's like it says, you exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship the creature rather than the Creator, and He gives you over to a reprobate mind. That's it. If you and I ever go backwards instead of forwards, we're given over to a reprobate mind. I don't care what, you say, well, so-and-so was such a beautiful Christian. Well, somewhere they quit overcoming. Jesus overcame for us at Calvary. And so we're to enter into the victory that He won for us at Calvary. A week before my, I think I lost my train of thought. Yes, if it was important, Lord, bring it back. Praise Jesus. Bless the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Anyway, I think the greatest thing that God has taught me is the word study, how to do a word study. And basically, you're just going to repent over the word. If you want the greatest deliverance you'll ever have, when you read the Bible, repent over the word of God. I can do that, and within 5 minutes, I'm blowing my nose and tears are running down my cheeks. That's what it means to be washed with water and washed with the word. And so God has insights from the word that He wants to teach you. He wants to show you places where you are not aligned with the word of God. The minute you line up with the word of God, you get delivered. And so my son, after he died of AIDS, I had a sinus infection that lasted probably a year and a half. My ears stopped up, the sinus infection, and I went to the doctor, and he gave me antibiotics, and they didn't work. And the Lord had shown me, because I'd always been healthy, that I knew that God wasn't pleased about something about me, but I didn't know what it was. And I narrowed it down to pride in my mouth. And so, anyway, with this sinus infection, I said, Lord, if you're trying to show me a sin in my life, don't let any of these antibiotics work. And nothing worked. I had took all kinds, and not one thing phased it. Finally, I found a doctor who did give me an antibiotic and an allergy pill, and it worked. But my largest lacks, like this much, hooking, bloated me up. And I said, Lord, I'm not taking this if I never do get healed anymore. So I decided to do what I had told people to do, is to do a word study. So God had already shown me it was pride in my mouth. So I pulled up every scripture on pride, arrogance, boastfulness, egotism, haughty, all those scriptures on pride, mouth, lips, tongue, and I printed it out on computer sheets, and I had about a stack of computer sheets about this high. And so I started repenting. It took me 3 days. After the first day, I said that I saw so much sin in my life, so much pride in my life, because I knew, I knew about the tongue. I knew that, it was obvious what that problem was. But I didn't understand about pride. So, anyway, I wasn't proud of my house, my car, my kid. I mean, it wasn't that, that kind of pride. So I couldn't get a grip on it. So after the first day, I saw so much pride and sin in my life. I said to God, when you deal with God, you even know which direction you were standing. You know if you're standing or sitting or if you're facing north or south, right? I can tell you the chair I was sitting in. And I said, you must be so sick of me. Because before that, I'd read the word and I'd say, my husband needs to read that. Oh my, that's for my sister. Oh, my mother, she's got this one. Here's for my mother. And I said, oh, dear God, that's for me. I mean, I saw myself. And it took me 3 days to repent over those scriptures because He sent His word to heal me. And on the third day, I was almost healed, except my nose was a little stopped up. So then I pulled up all the scriptures on nose. And when I got to the one on Leviathan, it says, can you put a rope in his nose? And I had this vision that God was trying to restrain my mouth by putting a rope in my nose. I went, oh, dear God, I feel like I got a rope in my nose. Forgive me. And my nose opened. And so God healed me. And so over the years, that's how God has healed me of many things, is just by doing a word study on whatever the problem. Now, you may not can find the disease that you have, if you have a disease, in the Word of God, but you can find the body part, or you can find the symptom in the Word of God. There's like 800 scriptures on the heart. So if you have heart problems, oh my goodness, you start looking at all the scriptures on heart and repenting over them. Heart trained in greed, hard heart, greedy heart. Oh my goodness. Arrogant heart. So many scriptures on the heart, and it wouldn't take you very 5 minutes to know this is why I have a heart problem. And so I encourage you to do that on the body part. And so anyway, I was totally healed after 3 days, and I've been healed of so many things. Another time, I had my hand felt like it was bruised, so I pulled up all the scriptures on left hand, and it says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. I went, oh, God, I've done that. My hand was instantly healed. I remember I used to teach 40-hour seminars. It'd be from 9 to 9, 9 to 9, 9 to 9. And it really was. It was like I tried to pattern it kind of at like a Milton Green seminar, because that's all he did, because I saw the power of God's Word. And it was so powerful that people that used to attend that seminar will tell me that sometimes they'll appear at Lake Hamilton and they'll say, why don't you do what? What happened? You're not doing those seminars again. And I don't think I have the desire to do it, but I saw so many miracles and so many people be healed. And so after I would do a seminar, my legs would throb for like 2 weeks. So I did a word study on legs, and it says God does not take pleasure in the legs of a man. Well, I always took pleasure in my dad. It means human strength. My dad was kind of like Merrill's dad. Even they didn't look anything alike, but they had that same fat, feisty spirit about them. And anyway, I always admired my daddy's strength. And so anyway, then the Lord showed me that I had taken pleasure in my daddy's strength. The Lord showed me that when I was a cheerleader, the Lord showed me that the people on the sideline, we've been marching these 14-mile parades, that the people on the sideline cursed my legs as the cheerleader with the ugly legs. So I repented over that. And I used to curse my legs, and I'd say, you know, they look like telephone poles. They look like blah, 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 blah. I look like I've been in a train wreck. I mean, I would say those things. And I repented, and the Lord totally healed my walk. I mean, I can stand for so long. And those seminars, I could stand for 40 hours. I mean, 9 to 9, 9 to 9, 9 to 9, without even sitting down. And so the Lord healed my legs. And I've seen so many things healed. And so today I wanted to show you how to do a word study. So in your personal time with God, and let me tell you, you'll never be an overcomer. You'll never be the Christian God wants you to be unless you get in the Word to see what you're doing wrong. And some of you have there's a block because of some occult things in your life. There's a block to getting in the Word. There's so many hindrances. You don't even have to come out of the occult. It's a battle to be in the Word of God. But you'll get so much deliverance if you'll start aligning your life with the Word of God. And normally when I pull up a body part, first of all, whatever body part of your body is sick is where you need to pull up all the scriptures on whatever part of your body it is. About 2 years ago, I was climbing over a fence, and I think God showed me I was doing it in pride, but I'd go for a walk, and rather than go through the gate, I'd climb over the fence. Well, I hurt my arm, and rather than stop climbing over the fence, I just kept climbing over the fence. After I'd injured my arm, re-injured it. And it's taken, I did a scripture of a word study on arm of the flesh. That means trying to take matters into your own hands, or what you're holding on to, or who are you trying to control. Or anyway, so I repented over all that, and my arm is about 90% well now. But there was just things that I guess got tore loose. And in the last year, I failed 2 or 3 or 4 times, I think. And I'm sure people, because I'm on the radio, people are cursing me. But there has to be a cause for that to be happening. And so whenever that happens, I did word studies on walk. And I can tell you, when I started doing it, Jesus was Lord of my life.
I couldn't tell you one thing that I wasn't trying to obey God in. And so, anyway, I did a scripture on the walk. I mean, I did all the scriptures on walk, stumble, steps, because I tripped, stumbled. And I tell you, I got so much deliverance, it was amazing. And I still need some deliverance in those areas. And I'm still doing word studies. Recently, I've started doing word studies on my eyes again. And I believe they're just a tad improved. I thank God that I see really good to have a difficult seeing problem. I thank God I can see colors, and I can tell, you know, when Lorna's driving me, I'll say, hey, wait, you need to turn there. Get over here, you know. And I'll say, oh, don't I have wonderful eyes. I bless my eyes. But anyway, difficulty reading, but even lately I've been able to read the iPad. And so if you don't have a Bible concordance, then you can pull up esword.com. It's little e dash capital S-W-O-R-D, and there's probably other Bible programs, but eSword is free. I think they give you one free program. I think they give you a King James free. And you need to look at different translations, because some of these modern translations are not accurate. And even the New American Standard, there's things that they leave out. But I read it because it's the one I've been reading for you. It's the one Milt used, and so then I use it because that's what he used. And when you get used to one, it's hard to change. Anyway, you can get a free Bible program, and you can. I used to do the concordance in a book, but I'd go down like on all the heart scriptures, and after I would go through the scripture, I would check it off. And I've got a concordance that's just mixed up, just check after check of different body parts that I've looked up, whatever the problem. When I first moved onto my property, this is kind of a sidetracking, but when I first moved on my property, I used to walk. The property was landlocked. It was like 116 acres. And I'd walk on the back of the property, and I'd hear birds singing, and I'd hear birds. Well, I built a home back there, put a bird feeder in the front yard and the backyard, and not one bird ever came to my house. I didn't know where they disappeared. And so a friend of mine who does spiritual mapping, and I don't know about that, but anyway, she's a godly woman, and she was an intercessor, and her and another friend of mine were having a prayer meeting. And I said, you know, it's really strange. I moved back here, and I used to hear the birds, and I never hear a bird back here, ever. And so, never see a bird. And so, the girl that did spiritual mapping, we went out in the front yard, and she poured oil in the yard, and the other friend was at a Cherokee Indian descent. And so, the Indians forgave the white people, and we had a little ceremony, and prayed over the land. And the next morning, I was sitting at my breakfast table, looking out the window, and there were hundreds of birds. There was probably 50 robins, and I haven't seen a robin since. This was about in 1994, 1995. And so, I mean, all kinds of birds. Anyway, doves and woodpeckers and all kinds of birds. And just flocks of them. And so, after a few days, they just kind of dwindled. And I didn't see them anymore. And so, about a week later, I was driving home and getting ready to circle in my property. And I heard the land mourns. And Randy talked about the land last night. But the land mourns because of what the crimes and the sins that have been committed on land. And so, anyway, when I got home, I pulled up all the scriptures on the computer, the land mourns. And I repented over every scripture. I took accountability for anyone who had lived on the land, murdered on the land, had sexual perversion on the land, anyone that had leased the land, in my forefathers, anything they had done on land, anybody that had owned the land or rented the land or leased the land. I took accountability and I repented over all these scriptures on the land mourns. And when I got to this one scripture, it says, the land mourns and the birds disappear. The birds and animals disappear. ever since then, I mean, I wake up and I hear birds singing all the time. You see, there's a reason why you go through whatever you go through. And as Jesus said, it's for the that you might be conformed into the image of Christ. We're all a work in progress. We all have problems. We all have areas where we have not had the victory. God wants us to have victory in every area. He wants every fear to be overcome, everything that makes you angry to be overcome, anything that depresses you. These are things you've got to overcome. These are the things that are on your land. And I have a little booklet back there called Clearing the Land. And basically that little book was dedicated to Milt Green, because he began sending people to me for deliverance, because he quit ministering deliverance to people because of his schedule. And so I put together the little book that would make my deliverance sessions to go quicker. And in that book, it's got all the curses of Deuteronomy 20. It's got all the Bible curses. It's got prayers to pray, curses to break. And you can actually get deliverance just going through Clearing the Land. Praise God, it's in Spanish now. And I understand it's in Russian, but I've never seen one in Russian. Somebody asked permission years ago. And so I'm distracted again. So Lord, let me get me back. What was I saying before I got all the rabbit trail? Okay, the birds. Okay. Another thing, one day I have a kennel where I sell chow puppies. And I went outside and there were frogs all over the land. I thought, dear Lord, frogs everywhere. I thought, oh dear Lord, I'm under that Egyptian curse. And so I pulled up every scripture that had to do with frogs, locusts, pestilence, caterpillars, bugs, whatever kind of bug, grasshoppers, crickets, whatever, locusts. I've repented over all those scriptures, and I took accountability. You know, after I repent over all the scriptures, then I forgive my forefathers for doing the same sins I just confessed. I forgive them. Then I break generational curses coming down the bloodline from the generations. And, of course, the locusts and all that stuff would have been generational, the frog stuff. And as I ask God, I start with Adam and Eve, Lord, let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, and you can do it however it, to wash out, wash away any ground Satan's had in my life through these areas. And anyway, I repented over the varmints, the bugs, the pestilence, and all this. And I occasionally will see a frog, and I have a lake, a 6-acre lake right behind me, and so you'd think I'd see more frogs, but I don't. But occasionally I see a frog. And I can tell you, I have had a garden, and I can go down the road, and there's grasshoppers jumping everywhere, but they don't. I only saw one grasshopper this year, and that, without putting any pestilence or anything, just repenting over whatever your problem is, find it in the Word of God. And I've probably gone through all the I scriptures probably 3 or 4 times, but I still, and had I not done that, I probably would really have problems with my eyes. But I'm starting over again, and God has shown me through this iPad where I can click on the search bar, pull up the words, and I can click on the word, it'll open up the whole chapter, where when I just went through the concordance, I would just sometimes just do the scripture that was shown in the concordance. So this time I'm doing the whole chapter, and I'm reading instead of maybe I might read the whole chapter, the scriptures above it, the scriptures below it. Right now I'm looking up blind. And one thing I thought was an encouragement, usually when I'm sitting back there, whoever's speaking, it's like their facial features are kind of like a blur, and I could actually make out Randy's facial features, and I could make out Jean's. Not great, but better than before. It wasn't a blur. So I know that God's going to use that. He's going to honor His Word. He sent His Word to heal us. And so I'm just going to skip around and show you how I do a word study. Start with, go to Proverbs chapter 2. And Randy, I think I can do this. I was going to get Randy to read this because I didn't have it in my notes. That's another thing. I used to not be able to read that without, I couldn't read that font, but now I can read it. So that's a victory. Okay, starting with verse 1. I'm going to read the scripture and then I'm going to tell you how I repent over it. It says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments within you. Make your ear attentive to wisdom and incline your heart to understanding. I'd say, Lord, I have not received your words and treasured your commandments in my heart. And you repent whether you think you're guilty or not, because if you didn't, your forefathers didn't treasure God's word.
Right.
It says, if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. God, I haven't done that. Please forgive me. If you seek her as silver and search for her as with hidden treasures. God, I haven't done that. You know, if somebody told us we had treasure, gold and silver buried in our backyard, we'd be out there with a shovel trying to dig it up. Right?
Yeah.
So God says we're to seek wisdom, discernment, understanding like we would silver or gold. It says then, after you do this, then you'll discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. So, Lord, forgive me for not regarding your word so that I could discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright, and he's a shield to those who walk in integrity. Okay, if I'm saying, well, that's not true, I'm not being protected. Well, there's some place you haven't walked in integrity. So you have to find it, and the only way you're going to find it is to get in the Word of God and ask God. But Randy and Jean have reinforced that you ask God. You know, if your mother and daddy had the same problem you're having, then the lie is God's not going to do nothing. You see what I'm saying? Because parents model for a picture up for us of what God's like. Like if you're addicted, we shared this with someone earlier. If you're addicted, if mother wasn't a drug addict and dad was a drug addict and you've been a drug addict, you don't have the fear of God on you, because the lie is God approves of drug addiction because you were trained up to be a drug addict by your parents' example. So we have no fear of God. If our fathers and mothers did things, Bill Gothard says, what parents allow, children will abuse in excess. And that's true. It says he gives wisdom from his... I'm going to use another example. Say your dad is always thinks there's somebody after you, right? After them. And you grow up seeing that your dad's fearful that somebody's going to get him. And now you're fearful somebody's going to get you. The lie is daddy could never do anything about it, so neither can I. You see, that lie has got to be abolished. Because God is not like our mothers and daddies.
Amen.
God is perfect. It said he stores up sound wisdom for the upright. So that means if, Lord, I haven't walked uprightly to have your wisdom that you've stored out to give me. Pour it out on me, Lord. I repent. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity. So we have no shield if we're not walking in obedience to the Lord. So if we're walking in integrity, we don't have to fear Muslims. We don't have to fear ISIS. We don't have to fear burglars breaking in. The scripture says in Ezekiel 34, we can sleep in the wilderness, which is an unpredictable place. And we don't have to lock ourselves in, because we can sleep in the wilderness. It says he guards the path of justice. And he preserves the way of his godly ones. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. And so, Lord, forgive me for not living a godly life, not walking in justice and mercy and peace. The Holy Spirit will show you other things to say so that I can be guarded. It says, then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity in every good course. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Lord, forgive me that knowledge has not been pleasant to my soul. Discretion will guard you, and understanding will watch over you. I believe I heard Derek Prince say that discretion and understanding are maybe angels. Has anybody heard of that? Discretion will guard you, and understanding will watch over you. Years ago, I was ministering to people that had come out of satanic ritual abuse, and People have seen angels sitting on my barn. Another man said he'd seen two angels sitting on my gatepost at my gate. And I've sensed the presence of angels, even though I've not seen angels on the property. I've sensed the presence of angels. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. So, Lord, forgive me that I have not regarded your word, and so that I could be delivered from evil and the man that speaks perverse things. You know, that could be the devil. That could be a person. From those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Lord, forgive me for leading. Forgive me for leaving the paths of... Forgive me for leaving the paths of uprightness and walking in the ways of darkness. I've also lately been done a word study on all the scriptures on darkness and all the scriptures on light, because when you have eye problems, the light is shut out. It says, who delight in doing evil and rejoice in the perversity of evil. Okay, go to Proverbs chapter 4. Now, this is just when you're going and doing when you're reading the Bible. But if you're looking for a specific answer to a problem, you pull up that word, or if it's in the Bible, you pull it up, you look. If it's the word's not there, the body part may be there. And if the body part's not there, you can see this, you can pull up the symptoms. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1, it says, hear, O sons, instruction of a father. Give attention that you may gain understanding. Lord, forgive me for not listening to my father. And then if your father was a deadbeat, Lord, I forgive him for being a deadbeat. I forgive him for not being the kind of father that would instruct you correctly. And Lord, forgive me for not receiving your instruction. It says, give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. God, forgive me for abandoning your instruction. When we run to the world for answers, are we abandoning God's instruction?
Yeah.
It's idolatry. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast to my words and keep my commandments and live. That right there is a ground for a heart problem. God, forgive me for that my heart has not held fast to your words and I've not kept your commandments so I could live. Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. Do not forget it or turn away from the words of my mouth. God, forgive me for not acquiring wisdom. You know, he says it twice. Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. The scripture says the people without understanding are ruined. Understanding is the truth that sets me free. Do not forget or turn away from the words of my mouth. Lord, forgive me for doing that. Do not forsake her and she will guard you. Love her and she will watch over you. So you're trying to watch over yourself. You think the sheriff's going to help you. You think the police's going to help you. It says don't forsake wisdom and understanding and she'll guard you. Love her. Do you love understanding? Do you love wisdom? And she'll watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom, and with all your heart and with all your acquiring, gain understanding. Prize her and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. Lord, forgive me for not prizing wisdom and understanding. She will place on your head a garland of grace, and she will present you with a crown of beauty. And you know, that's, you say, well, you know, you don't see that. You won't see that in the physical realm, but holy angels can see it and demon powers can see it. You know, I was teaching a seminar. This is not glorifying myself because I was shocked. This little kid said, I see a crown in your head. He'd been into all kinds of these games and opened up to the occult, could see stuff. And that's probably why he saw it, because he had been into occultic things. And I'm not saying the crown was occulting, but he saw it. Hear, my son, and accept my sayings. God, forgive me, I haven't. And the years of your life will be many. You can live a long life. Most people after a certain age, they just give up. Don't give up. Keep on running after God. It says when you walk, your steps will not be impeded. And that really hit me because I had tripped a bunch of times because I walk fast and I don't look down when I'm walking, and I tripped over stuff. And so God said, watch your step. Take hold of instruction and don't let her go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter, and Lord, I haven't done that. Do not enter the path of the wicked or proceed in the way of evil men. God, forgive me for running with the wrong kind of people. Avoid it and do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. Okay, go to Romans chapter 12. I'm just going to go a couple of places. Well, a few more and then we'll quit. Romans 12. Verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies to God as a holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of wisdom. God, forgive me for not doing that. I do right now, Lord, present my body to you as a living sacrifice. Do not be conformed to this world, but be, you know, y'all can be repenting as I'm repenting, and you'll get deliverance. I should have told you that to start with. I hope probably some of you have been doing that, but just be repenting with me. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. See how the Word of God conforms you and renews your mind?
Amen.
It says, for the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, to not think more highly of himself than he ought to think. God, oh, does that fit me? Does that fit you? But to think as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each of us a measure of faith. Forgive me, Lord. Just as we have many members in the body, all the members do not have the same function. In other words, we're not supposed to compare ourselves to others. God made you an individual. He has a special plan for your life. The plan he has for you is different than the plan he has for someone else. How sad it would be to stand before the Lord and have him say, you just didn't get it. You just wouldn't obey me. I wanted the best for you. Depart from me. I never knew you. Oh, but God, I prayed a prayer and I received you. I did receive you. Many people just have got Jesus in their head and it's never got down in their heart to change their life. And that's the number one problem people have is lack of commitment. You know, I see people that claim to be believers. They claim to be Christian, but I don't see a commitment. I don't see a devotion to God, a desire to please God more than anything else. Now, the world might call you a weirdo if you do that, but listen, hey, heaven's where it's at, not down here.
Yes.
It says, just as we have many members in the body, and all the members do not have the same function. In other words, God has an individual job for you. The scripture says that you're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works that he's prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. He knew when your daddy's sperm met with your mother's egg exactly what you were going to supposed to be, what plan he had for you. And his plans and purposes cannot be thwarted. That encourages me. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to each of us, is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. I'm going to go down here to the bottom. Drop down to 29. I mean, all of it's good. I would read all of it if I'm repenting over it, but I just want to see some things that really will help you get delivered. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. Lord, I've been a hypocrite. I put on a false love, a false humility. Forgive me, Lord. Abhor what is evil. God, I haven't hated evil. Cling to what is good. I haven't done that, Lord. Please forgive me. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. God, I haven't done that. Please forgive me. Not lagging behind in diligence. fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Lord, I have lagged behind in diligence. I haven't been fervent in spirit. I've been so worldly minded, I'm no heavenly good. You hear the opposite. He or she's so heavenly minded, they're not any earthly good. Well, it's just the opposite. You can be so earthly minded, you're not even fit for heaven. Contributing to the needs of the saints. Practicing hospitality. Are you stingy? Contributing to the needs of the saints. Practicing hospitality. I can tell you, every time that I've died to my flesh to do something, to help somebody, God is, you don't do it for that reason, but I see right down the line, God starts blessing me.
That's right.
You cannot outgive God. It says, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse, O dear Lord. And the reason I have this call is because I pray for the One World Order characters, these, and not just the Democrats and the Republicans, these Rhino One World Order Republicans and Democrats. I speak evil of them and curse them, and that's exactly why I have what I have. That I get myself agitated at what they're doing to my president. And God tells you not to take up offenses. There's grace for you when you go through offense, but there's not grace for you to go through someone else's offense. So forgive me, Lord.
That's good.
It says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. God, forgive me. I haven't done that. Forgive me for being jealous if I've been jealous. Be of the same mind toward one another and do not be haughty in mind. And that brings me to another sin. Lord, I've been haughty. The scripture says, haughty eyes will be abased, brought low. And that's been my number one sin, which is really pride, is haughty. I don't think I am now, or maybe I'm less than I used to be, but I'm working on it, believe me, because I don't want to be haughty. Associate with the lowly. In other words, don't think you're better than anybody. Do not be wise in your estimation. God, forgive me for being wise in my estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. God, forgive me for paying back evil. And then I would think, if I'd paid back evil to anybody, who did I do that to? And then repent over anyone that you paid evil to. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. God, forgive me for contention and strife and having a warring, contentious disposition. Never take your own revenge, but leave room for the wrath of God. God, forgive me for revenge, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I'll be repaid, says the Lord. Okay, it helps to know that whatever somebody does to you, they're going to get back the same thing, more than you. The law of sowing and reaping says you get the same thing more and later. So you can plant a grain of corn, you get a stalk of corn with bunches of ears of corn, with hundreds of kernels of corn. And so if somebody mistreats you, you can put them in God's courtroom. You can forgive them, knowing that God's going to repay them through the law of sowing and reaping. Because you're going to reap what you sow. We're reaping what we sow, most of us. If you've got wayward kids, and even if they're not wayward, there's things that you've done that you get your button pushed is because they're doing the same thing you used to do before you got saved. So if there's a problem with a kid, I always say, well, now, Lord, what are you trying to show me through that? Did I do it? Or if your daughter-in-law or your son-in-law says something that puts a knife in your heart, maybe says something evil toward a family member, and it's like a knife in your heart, Lord, did I do that? The Lord shows me that sometimes things bother me about people are the very same things I've done myself. I don't do it anymore, but I used to. It says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Lord, I haven't done that. Please forgive me. Now go to Ephesians chapter 4. It says, therefore I, a prisoner of the Lord, implore you, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, worthy of the calling which you've been called. Lord, forgive me for not walking worthily. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance to one another. God, I've been very intolerant. Be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Lord, I haven't done that. Now, that doesn't mean to compromise. The Bible says, and Randy quoted this scripture, light cannot have fellowship with darkness. What happens is the light wants to please so much, and they wrongly compromise with the darkness. You never see the darkness compromising with the light. You always see the light compromising with the darkness so they can walk together. Hey, God doesn't want you to walk with people like that. It says, be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as we were called in one hope of your calling. Okay, go to... When I get through doing this, my daily thing, I say, Lord, I forgive all my forefathers for everything I've just confessed.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.